So we are doing Shikshashtakam, verse 8. Now, I chose this verse because this is the goal of our life. And sometimes while following the process, we forget the goal. So we have to remind ourselves what's the goal. And in fact, when we remind ourselves what's the goal of our devotional service, we are also fixed in the process because we know where we have to go. So I'll just start the Shikshashtakam now. Okay, so we all know this verse. There's no problem, big problem in knowing this verse. But the import of this verse is very deep. In fact, it has to be deep because it's spoken by Lord Chaitanya. And this verse, Shikshashtakam, it is composed by Lord Chaitanya, but it is not written by him. He spoke and he commented on it. And then his secretary, Sarup Damodar, he made notes and he wrote all these verses. And we have this, the details of and evidence of this in Chaitanya Charitamrita Anta Leela, where Mahaprabhu spoke these verses in his madness, in his transcendental madness. And he said, nobody can understand the import of this verse. Only devotees who have loving spirit of service, by the strength of their service attitude, they can understand these verses. Otherwise, it's impossible. Intellectually, it's impossible to understand them. So, this verse specifically is talking about that strength of loving spirit of service, which is in fact the life and soul of devotion. And that's what Mahaprabhu is trying to impress upon us. As I told you before, Prabhupada says, service is not that important. More important than service is the spirit of service, or the attitude of service, which Krishna accepts. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expanding on that topic, on the attitude or the loving spirit of service. Prabhupada will comment on that. I'll show the quotations. So let's dive deep into this verse. So we know this. Ashlesha Padratam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahatam Korotuva Yatha Tathava Vidhatu Lampato Mat Prana Nathastu Saivanapara. Yeah. Next. So the first word in this verse is Ashlesha. Now, so I'm going to analyze every word of this verse and tell you how deep it is. Whatever we can fathom, it should be more deeper than this. So the word Ashlesha there are three meanings of this word, Ashlesha, or three shades of meaning. Let's talk about that. The first meaning of this word is embrace with great pleasure. Ashlesha means embracing. Ashlesha means you embrace somebody with great pleasure. That is Ashlesha. Now, what do devotees want to embrace? They want to embrace Krishna or his devotees? No, more than that, devotees want to embrace his service. That's what the idea is. His lotus feet. And in fact, Chaitanya Charitamrita begins with this topic. Okay, what is higher? Who is higher? Madhure Bhav or Dasya Bhav? Now we all know Madhure Bhav is higher than Dasya Bhav, isn't it? We all know that. But Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes a case of it, discusses it. And he said, from one perspective, Dasya Bhav is higher than Madhure Bhav, because Dasya Bhav is the basis of all the sentiments in devotion. Dasya Bhav means the attitude of service. That attitude of service is the base of all the emotions, whatever emotions are there in spiritual world. That is why that is more important than any other emotion, more than Vatsalya, more than Sakhya, more than Madhurya. And he gives an example of Lakshmi Devi. So Lakshmi Devi, she resides on the chest, but she leaves the chest of Vishnu and starts serving the lotus feet. And he says, Lakshmi Devi, she is in Madhurya Bhav. The object of Madhurya Bhav is the chest of the Lord. That is an inspiring factor for Madhurya Bhav. That nourishes Madhurya Bhav, the eyes of Krishna, the chest of Krishna. Isn't it? That's why we say Gopinath. Gopinath is a broad chest. But she leaves the chest and she goes to lotus feet. Why? Because she knows that Dasyarati, or the attitude of service, that is the foundation of all the emotions, all the mellows in devotional life. Without that, everything collapses or crumbles. Krishnaskarya Swami gives another example of Nand Maharaj. When Nand Maharaj and all these Vrindavan Vasis, they met Krishna in Kurukshetra after so many years, like 120 years, Kurukshetra. Then Nand Maharaj, so many rishis came and they were actually talking to Nand Maharaj. And Nand Maharaj, he prayed to the rishis that wherever Krishna is, let my mind be fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. You see, he's a father. He shouldn't pray like that. But he's praying, let my mind be fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna. He understands, even if he has a relationship of father and son with Krishna, in his subconscious realm, he understands that the base is attitude of service. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying Ashlishya means I want to embrace with great pleasure lotus feet of Lord. Lotus feet of Lord is an emblem of service. We want service. We even don't want Krishna. Because for service we can leave Krishna. Isn't it? And that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami, Mahaprabhu instructed, you should go to Vrindavan, write books. Mahaprabhu said, you have to go to Vrindavan, and he gave three orders to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. You write books, you find lost places of Vrindavan, and you make temples. And Rupa Goswami and Sanatana, they were saying, how can we away from you? Mahaprabhu said, no, you should go. For my service. That's the idea. So for service, we can abandon Krishna. So who is higher? Service or Krishna? Service, that's all. So that's what I was telling on the first day. For service, we can even do offense against Krishna. We can ever disobey him. We can do anything for service. And that gives Krishna the greatest pleasure. So, Ashlishya means Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani is praying, please let me embrace your service. Please show me the importance of your service, the service attitude which a devotee has in the devotional service. And the next meaning of Ashlishya is hope. Ashlishya comes from the word Asha. Asha means hope. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showing us a devotee should have hope against hope. Let's say like that. To serve Krishna. Because to serve Krishna is very difficult. It's not easy. But yet, nevertheless, even Brahma, he can't serve him. Even Lakshmi, she is still doing tapasya in Vrindavan and hoping to attain the service of Krishna, but she can't. She is still meditating on him. So who are we? So that's why Mahaprabhu prays to Krishna, I hope that life after life I will be able to serve you, because I don't see any qualification in me that I can continue to serve you except your causeless mercy. So I can have just hope or hope against hope to continue my service. So Ashlesha also means hope. A devotee should never leave hope to serve Krishna eternally. But nevertheless, at the same time we understand it's difficult. Okay, so and the next meaning of Ashlesha is highest love. Now, what hope we have? We have hope to serve Krishna, we have hope to attain love of God. Because I explained, without love, service cannot be complete. We can't serve Krishna 24 hours without love. It's impossible. We'll just be involved in a body. This body will pull us. Not today, not tomorrow, but someday it's going to pull you down. Maybe in old age, maybe in disease, maybe at the time of death. At that time we need love to actually remember Krishna. If we don't attain love, we'll forget him. Because at the time of death you don't remember anything. You'll just forget. At the time of when we have fever, we forget Krishna, isn't it? You just lie down. It's just nothing, blank. What about death? We'll definitely forget Krishna if we don't have love. So at this moment of crisis, now we can serve Krishna. When we are like conscious and we are okay. But at the moment of crisis, you need help. And in crisis, you need help of a very powerful person, isn't it? Whenever you are in a big problem, if ISKCON is in big problem, you need some contacts. Some powerful contact to save, to protect ourselves. At the time of crisis, you need a powerful help, powerful person, and that's love. Without love, it will not be possible. That is why the aim of a life is love. Because, and that is why it said, life is preparation, death is examination. A time of death, we'll fail if we don't have love. And that matters. No matter whatever you do in this life, if at death you fail, isn't it? No matter whole year you prepare in your school and everything, an exam you fail. You fail. You can say, I prepared, I this, I did. Well, you failed. That's all. You have to repeat again. So you have to come back again. So Ashlesha means we have a hope. We have great hope that we will attain love in this life. Not by just by our efforts, but with the causeless mercy of Krishna. He is merciful. He will give us love at the time of crisis. Or even before that, if we are qualified. But for that, we have to prepare ourselves and have sincerity and maintain that loving spirit of service attitude. That's the point. Don't do anything which will injure your service attitude. Don't do anything. For that you have to be conscious. That is Krishna conscious. Conscious within yourself. What's happening to your emotions? What's happening to your spirit? What's happening to your feelings? No feeling, no thought, no action should injure that service attitude. That is called Ashlesha. A devotee hopes that I can continue sincerely with this service attitude day after day, month after month, years after year, without harming it. And we harm it, isn't it? We injure it. We give pain to service attitude by doing complete nonsense things. By thinking nonsense things, by feeling, having nonsense emotions, and that's what happens with all of us. But Mahaprabhu is saying, one day I hope that I'll be a good devotee. That's the idea. We are hoping one day we'll be a good devotee. Now we are all devotee-like, isn't it? We are not exactly a devotee. We are like. So in a class there are many students, some good students, some bad students. We are like all bad students. We are devotees, but in Krishna's eyes we are like some bad or some students, something. We are not good students. Good students are in spiritual world. They are not here. We are all backbenchers, you know that? In class they are backbenchers and they make much noise. And they don't their mind is not fixed on what teacher is teaching. They are backbenchers and they disturb others. Most of us is like that. But we hope to become good students. Okay. That's the first word of Shikshashtakam, verse 8. Ashlishya. And the next word of this verse, Shikshashtakam, verse number 8, is Va. You know the meaning of Va? What's the meaning of Va? In Sanskrit. Ashlishya Va Padratam Vinastumam. Huh? It's written there? Okay, good. Okay, that's nice. So Va means or in this present. Or. So Mahaprabhu is saying, I want to embrace the service attitude. I want to embrace hope in Krishna consciousness of attaining you. But, or, Mahaprabhu, Va also means but if I am not able to embrace, then what? If I am not able to keep up my promise of being sincere, then what? If Maya affects me, then what? Then what happens? So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bringing a concept of independence. The concept of independence from our side and the concept of independence from Krishna's side. So if due to our independent mentality, we are not able to embrace Krishna, then what happens? That's what we are all also supposed to think. Then what happens? If Krishna acts independently, then what happens? If we want to embrace, but he doesn't want to embrace us, what do you do with that? You can't force him. You can't force him. You can't say, Krishna, I practice Krishna consciousness absolutely sincerely. I never thought anything wrong. I never felt anything wrong. No offense. But Krishna might say, I'll not embrace you. I'll not give you mercy. Then what? That's what Krishna is bringing, Mahaprabhu is bringing. But he is saying Krishna is independent. That we have to understand. That we have to recognize. Otherwise, he will not give us mercy. So this attitude, you see the attitude of a devotee. Mahaprabhu through this verse is helping us to develop a sincere attitude. When we are doing so many services, but what we should be thinking in our consciousness? This is what thoughts of a devotee are. So many thoughts. One of the thought is, Krishna, you are independent. You can give me mercy. You can not give me mercy. But nevertheless, I will keep on serving you. You see the point? That's the crux of this verse, isn't it? No problem. I know you can do anything. And that's what happened when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking sannyas. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to take sannyas, he informed 5 people. He didn't inform everybody, by the way, because it would have created chaos. But he informed 5 people, and whom he informed? You know this? Who all he informed that I'm going to take sannyas? Any idea? Okay, first is Nityananda Prabhu. His mother, Sachima, he informed her. Servant? There's no servant in Navadvip before sannyas. So, he also informed Chandrasekhar Acharya. He was his uncle. He informed Gadadhar Pandit. He was his best friend. And Mukund. So, Mukund, he was, and also Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta? Yeah, Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta, but that was special. So when he went to inform Murari Gupta, Murari Gupta said to Mahaprabhu, nice, you come. Mahaprabhu says, see, I have come with the news. And Murari Gupta suspected some suspicion. Mahaprabhu is going to do something crazy now. And he said to Mahaprabhu, you are a crazy man. And you are always giving us pain, your devotees. We are serving you in this pastime and you are always giving us pain. Who is Murari Gupta? Hanuman in the past times. He participated as Hanuman in Ram Leela, and he participated as Bhima in Krishna Leela. And now he's Murari Gupta. So he said, see, in Ram Leela, in all pastimes, you bring a strange twist. And you do something which is very weird, which all of us cannot understand. And you torture us. In Ram Leela, you abandoned Sita. And you were so unhappy because of that. We were tortured. And then when Sita came back, then again you abandoned. What are you doing? And Krishna Leela, you abandoned your Vrajvasis for 100 years. Suddenly, without any notice. Just went off. Akrura camp just went off without any pre-notice. So don't do anything stupid in this Leela. He said him. Don't do like this. Mahaprabhu said, well, I have come here to tell you that I am going to do this. I am going to abandon my mother and my wife, Vishnupriya. I'm going to abandon them. Can you hear properly? This not disturbing? Yeah, because that. Oh no, you have to translate it. Okay. So that's what Mahaprabhu said, well, I'm going to take sannyas now. Okay, fine. Take sannyas. So then Murari Gupta said to Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu, see, you are supreme, I can't stop you. You are independent. This concept, you are independent. You can do anything. I can just request you, can you stay for some more days? Mahaprabhu said, okay. But then, he didn't listen and he went off. Sarvam Bhattacharya, he tried to stop Mahaprabhu to go for South India Yatra. Mahaprabhu didn't stop. Sarvam Bhattacharya said, what can we do? You are independent. So that's the idea. That is the first verse of Bhagavatam. You know that, no? Janmadyasyata Anyavatas Chaitaratas Artheshu Abhigya Swarat. And the word Swarat, Prabhupada comments, he's an autocrat. So you know this word autocrat? Autocrat means he can do anything, whatever he likes. That's what we have to understand. That is what we have to understand here. And you know what? That tendency is in us. Same thing. He can do whatever he likes, and that reflection is in us, and that's why we do whatever we like. Isn't it? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Krishna is highly independent, and that's why we are all highly independent. And we, if we can understand in this life, we are dependent on Him for everything. Even our free will is dependent on Him. Even our free will is not free, in one sense. He can erase our free will if He wants. But He lets us have our free will so that we can choose whether we want Him or whether we want this material world, and we can develop love, because the basis of love is free will, isn't it? Basis of love is free will. If you remove free will, it is simply tyranny. It is simply it's simply control. That's all. So we have to understand that he's independent. He's independent, but he's merciful. That's the idea. He can do anything he likes, but he doesn't do anything without a reason. For us, independence is very different. We do anything what we like, but without any reason, isn't it? We do anything what we like based on our feelings. If we like this, we do. So you see that shirt on shirt, it is just do it. If you feel good, just do it. That's our independence. That's our basis of independence. Krishna's basis of independence is not that. Krishna likes whatever he does, but with a purpose. He always has a reason behind it. You might understand, you might not understand. That's your problem. If he neglects us, there has to be reason. There has to be a reason in this. It's not that he just do anything, whatever he likes. He's God. And that is why there's a sutra in Vedanta Sutra. And the sutra goes, na prayojanatvat. And this sutra actually is very dangerous sutra, because Shankara takes a very different meaning of this. But our Vaishnavacharyas, Madhva and Ramanuja and Baldev Devabhushan, they comment, na prayojanatvat. Na means no, not. Prayojan means purpose. Krishna doesn't do anything without any purpose. Like that. So if he accepts us, there is a purpose. If he rejects us, there is a purpose. If in spite of our being sincere, he rejects us, there is a purpose to it. Sometimes humans can understand that, sometimes they can't understand. Even immortals, they cannot understand the purpose of God. Even Krishna cannot understand sometimes his own purpose. What do with that? He starts a project with a purpose, but then he forgets in between. And that is actually Mahaprabhu's Leela. Isn't it? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan, and in an ecstasy he forgot. Isn't it? Just after sannyas, and he was just roaming 3 days in Bengal. He had to go north, but he started going south for 3 days. He forgot his purpose. That was it. That's what God is. So va means or. Krishna, if you don't accept me, okay, fine, I accept that. I accept the fact that you will not accept me, because I know you are independent. And I offer you obeisances and I keep on serving you. You see the point? That the point? Okay. Va also means I am dependent wholly on your mercy. You see the point? Why we are putting efforts in devotion? Tell me. Why we are putting efforts in devotion? Why we are doing sadhana, like chanting and trying to serve him, in spite of our mind not supporting us? And our emotions revolting against us, still we are trying to serve him. And for that you need effort, isn't it? In spite of the fact our body is trying to obstruct us, no problem. Why? Why are we putting efforts in devotion? Yeah, we are putting efforts in devotion not to get Krishna, but to get the mercy. And there's a distinction in this. A very important distinction. If you say you are putting efforts to attain Krishna, then there's a problem. And the problem is Krishna is under your efforts. Krishna becomes dependent on your efforts, and then he's not God, because Krishna is independent. So we are putting efforts to qualify ourselves for the mercy of Krishna. That is the statement. That is the perfect statement given by Bhakti Siddhanta, and even Srimad Bhagavatam says. So it comes in Brahma's prayer. We are putting efforts to qualify ourselves to have mercy of Lord. We are not putting efforts to have mercy of Lord. This statement is also not correct. If you think about it. If you say you are putting efforts to get mercy of Lord, then you are putting his mercy below efforts. Then there is again a problem, you know. Krishna and his mercy is independent. You can't by your efforts get mercy. By your efforts you can qualify yourself. And then Krishna's mercy can think whether I should do mercy or not. If you think about that, you have to put words properly. This is a prophet statement. We are putting efforts to qualify ourselves to have mercy of Lord. That's the idea. So Mahaprabhu is saying Ashlishya va. Va also in Sanskrit means efforts. But we are putting efforts to get mercy of Lord. That's the idea. We are dependent on his mercy. So a devotee should every moment pray. We should always pray. Walking, doing whatever service we do, we should pray to Krishna. Krishna, we know our service is not perfect. We know it is full of faults. But please accept it and extend your mercy. If you think I am qualified. That's the idea. If you think I am not qualified, don't give me mercy. That also you should pray. You know why? Sometimes you should also, you know what? Sometimes devotees pray to Krishna to make them fall down also. That's also a concept. Oh, yeah. Sometimes devotees can pray to Krishna to make them fall down. Fall down? Now, how is that? What's happening? We don't pray to Krishna, Krishna make me fall down. But you can pray to Krishna, Krishna, if I deviate from your service, make me fall down. Immediately. Immediately you do that. Because if you don't make me fall down, then I will continue with my insincere service. I will never know what's happening with me. And then illusion will come. and it will strike and we are dead. We are out of devotion. That's what we pray. Krishna, if we do, fault punish us, isn't it? That's the idea. Don't hesitate to punish me out of your causeless mercy. You see that? It's a very different take on these prayers. That's what this prayer is all about. That's what this prayer is all about. So, who is a good teacher? Who punishes or who praises the student? Who is a good teacher? What do you say?
Huh?
Always, all good students, they praise those teachers who have punished them when they were child in class. At that time they don't realize it, but when they grow old they say, yeah, that teacher was perfect because of that teacher I am now whatever I am. Isn't it? So sometimes devotees praise Krishna. If we do faults, immediately punish us. Immediately make me fall down. It will help me and it will help you. It will help me to correct myself. You make me fall down, at the same time you give me the power to recognize that fault. That also, we, of course, if he makes us fall down and we don't have a power to understand anything, then we're gone. And it will help Krishna also, because it will make Krishna famous. He'll become the best teacher, isn't it? If Krishna always gives mercy, he's not the best teacher. You see the point? So we are always thinking about his glories, and all these concepts are in this small word va. Ashlishya va. And then what happens is, now the climax of this verse begins. What's the next? Va padratam. Please, next. So the next is padratam. Now pad means lotus feet, ratam means to be attached. Now what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, can you see this? Yeah, somewhat. It's like small, this one. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying, okay, fine, Krishna, you are independent, but nevertheless, please accept me as your servant. Yeah, just again. Here is a point. Ratam means service attitude. Ratam, this word, has a flavor of attitude, not exactly service. Prabhupada says in Nectar of Devotion, chapter 22, Krishna becomes obliged to the loving spirit of the devotee and not exactly to the service rendered. This is very important line. No one can serve Krishna completely. He is so complete and self-sufficient, he has no need of any service from the devotee. It is the devotee's attitude of love and affection for Krishna that makes him obliged. This whole verse is talking about attitude. Before that, these two words, Ashlishya Va, they were helping us to understand the attitude, isn't it? The consciousness by which we are approaching Krishna. What we have to think, what we have to feel when we come face to face with Krishna. What should be our consciousness when we encounter absolute truth? When we encounter eternity? You have to be careful. You are encountering absolute truth. Krishna is not a simple encounter. It's a very serious encounter. And you have to be in a proper consciousness. So, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying. Focus on your loving spirit. And this is what is said by Madhva. Hari kare sadhaka. A devotee is entrusted to fulfill the mission of Krishna. And the mission of God is a difficult mission, isn't it? Krishna doesn't take easy projects. He's not like us, you know. He takes difficult projects, which involve entire world, and not just Ljubljana or Poland. He's thinking of entire world. His mission is very difficult. So to support in his mission, you have to be expert. If you're not expert, prepare yourself. No problem. Krishna has given you a big life. Why? To prepare. Otherwise, if he would have just given you 1 year, everybody would die in 1 year. That's all. He's given you a big life to prepare yourself so that we qualify ourselves to be to be used in the mission of Krishna. And Prabhupada prepared for 30 years, isn't it? I mean to say, he didn't need to prepare, he's a liberated soul. But he's showing us, 30 years nothing happened. Just one disciple in Allahabad. And that too was arguing with Prabhupada, his disciple. But nothing, but Prabhupada was preparing every day, every day, every day. And that's the idea of Padratam. Krishna, Mahaprabhu is saying, even if you don't accept me, no problem, I will keep on preparing to serve you. Even if you don't engage me in your service, and you don't give me any service, I will prepare myself so that I can be used in your service one day. And that's what Prabhupada says in one of his lectures. Every day you should double your endeavor. You should double your endeavor. The next, tomorrow, your endeavor should be doubled. Day after tomorrow, it should be doubled. Well, it's like that. That's the spirit. You see the spirit of devotion? That is full of enthusiasm. You have to go ahead every moment, because a moment will come in your life. Yeah. So a moment will come in your devotional career when you will stop. Because you can't do more than that, isn't it? Sometimes. You're fully busy, 24 hours, what do you can do? Morning to evening you're busy, then you have to sleep, you have to eat. You can't do more than that. So what do you do? How do you go forward? There comes a role of quality and attitude. Quantity you can squeeze, how much, whatever you can, but you can't extend much. You have these bodies, you know, and time, you are limited. But then comes a point of quality, and that's what Mahaprabhu is saying. Service can be limited, but service attitude is unlimited. That's infinite. And the day when your service attitude surpasses the limits of your service, that will be the perfection of your life. Now you understand what I am saying. Now we are doing, now our service is 180%, our service attitude is 20%. Our quality of service is not good. But the day will come when we will serve him 24 hours, that we are all busy. If we are busy, I don't know, I presume we are all busy. Because in temple there is a lot of scope of becoming space out. We all know. Full time is not really full time always. So if we are busy 24 hours, but nevertheless you have a desire to do more for Krishna, much more for Krishna, you want to expand time, that's the idea. You're not satisfied with 24 hours, I want to expand it. That means your service attitude is surpassing your service, isn't it? So after a particular time, quantity is not that important, quality is important. That's what Mahaprabhu is actually helping us to understand here in this word Padratam. Focus on quality. If you focus on quality, quantity will come. Isn't it? If a quality is good, quantity will automatically come. If you are sincere and we have proper service attitude, we will serve. But if you only focus on quantity and not on quality, even quantity will go down. Isn't it? All these companies, good companies. So what's the difference between a good company and a bad company? Bad company focuses on quality. You produce, sell, get profit. But good company will focus on quality, because they know if quality is good, a company will go long way. People will automatically buy, isn't it? That's the idea. So please focus on service attitude. That we have to develop. Now the climax of this word begins. And the idea is Padratam Pinastumam. Now, suppose Krishna comes and he says, okay, well, you understand devotion. You understand I'm independent. You understand I may not accept you. And I'm happy with you. That's okay. I'm very happy because of this attitude. That's okay. Still you're serving me. I'm very happy. But then, Chaitanya Krishna says, okay, fine. I'll do one thing. So you know what's the meaning of pinastu, ma'am? You know what's the meaning of pinastu? Pinastu in Sanskrit means to trample underfoot. That's the idea. Like you trample, like elephant tramples on the ant. Huh? What's that? Trot. Okay, trot maybe. So crush. That's, he uses the word crush. Crush is in your language. Okay. So crush. Punastu means crush. So Mahaprabhu says, okay, fine. Krishna says, okay, fine. You understand who am I? I'm very happy. Even if I don't accept you, you'll still serve me. Will you serve me if I give you sufferings? Vinastu Maam. Mahaprabhu says yes. Even if you give me sufferings, not just reject me, but even if you start giving me sufferings, I'll keep on serving you. That's the prayer. This prayer is very, very grave and very deep. Because we don't pray like that, isn't it? We don't want sufferings. We fear sufferings, all of us. Mahaprabhu says, even if you give me suffering, and sometimes Krishna will test you. If you are really sincere, he will test you by giving you sufferings. He might first reject you, but nevertheless, okay. But then he might give you sufferings. But then, not exactly to test you, because he doesn't need to test you. He knows what you are, you know. He can predict. He knows what you are more than you know. But he tests you to let you know where you are. Because most of the times we are assuming that we are advanced, but we are not. We don't know actually what's happening inside us. Exactly what's Krishna knows. So he gives a test to help us understand where we are. Are we advanced? Are we not advanced? Do we have to work more? We have to put more efforts. He have to let us know where we are, otherwise we'll always be stuck up here. Because efforts will come from our side. Isn't it? We have to put efforts to go forward. But if we don't know how much to go forward, where I am, what do you do with that? So that's the idea. Krishna says, Mahaprabhu prays, even if you give me sufferings, no problem. I will keep on suffering. I will keep on serving you. And, okay. So is there an example, like classical example, where Krishna gives sufferings to his devotees and still they are serving Krishna? Of course, one is Srila Prabhupada. He's there. Krishna gave him sufferings, heart attacks, so much problems. But he nevertheless kept on serving Krishna. Krishna sometimes do this also to glorify his devotee. He's interested to glorify him, isn't it? So a devotee prays. Krishna says, okay, even if I give you suffering, will you serve me? Devotee is intelligent. He knows Krishna is giving me sufferings to glorify me. You see? Because if Prabhupada didn't have heart attacks, if Prabhupada didn't have any problems, and he would have just landed on plane, come to America, and started a movement, nobody would have glorified him, isn't it? Okay. But we glorify him because of his, in spite of so many problems, he did so many things, isn't it? That's what we glorify. That's what brings out his quality of determination. Otherwise, anybody can do. That's what brings out his quality of dedication and sincerity. So Krishna, by giving these sufferings, so I told you, Krishna doesn't do anything without any purpose. But he might not tell you his purpose, but you have to decode it by your knowledge. And that's what knowledge is important. That's what we are doing here. Because we are trying to understand Krishna, because when he comes and interacts with us, he will not tell, I'm going to do this because of this. We don't talk like that, no. I'm going to do this. Are you angry or not? I have to figure out that. So Krishna gives sufferings. That's his mercy sometimes, to help us understand where we are, so that we can work from there ahead. Otherwise we'll think we are here and we'll not put necessary efforts. And sometimes to glorify us. That is Pinastu Maam. So Prabhupada, Pandavas, they underwent so many sufferings. Sita Devi, she underwent sufferings. Which pure devotee didn't undergo sufferings? Because that is the method by which Krishna glorifies his devotee. Otherwise nobody will glorify you. And Krishna wants his devotees to be glorified. How do you do that? How do you do that? Queen Kunti, she also had so much sufferings. And that's why we glorify them. Okay, so And the next word is adarshanam marma hatam korotuva. Now Krishna says, okay, I'm very happy with you. You have accepted my proposal. Even if I give you sufferings, you will keep on serving me. Okay, good. You pass. If we say, no, Krishna, we don't want suffering. We came here for happiness, but you're giving me suffering. What's happening? Bye-bye. But because you don't understand why he's doing that. He's doing that to help you. But we don't understand that, and then we argue with him, and then we go back. Isn't it? And that's what ordinary people, you know. They come to God, please help me, and then they don't find any help, and then they leave. Oh, he didn't help me. Okay, good, you leave him. Because they don't understand the purpose of him, his why he's doing. Now Krishna says, okay, I'm very happy, but now I have another proposal. Adarshanam mam korotuva. I will not only give you sufferings now, I will start neglecting you. And you know, neglect is a worst suffering, if you understand that. It's the worst suffering you can have. There are 10 kind of punishments in Niti Shastra. Niti Shastra, so Chanakya Niti, you know this Chanakya Niti. There's Chanakya Niti, Shukracharya Niti, Vidur Niti. But all those Nitis, the base of that is Kamandakya Niti. That's a Rishi he wrote. He took knowledge from Brahma, and then Chanakya and all these they took from this. In that it is said there are 10 kind of punishments, and the first and the most torturous punishment is neglect. The Sanskrit word is upeksha. That's not physical torture but mental torture, isn't it? So sometimes it happens in family life also. The husband and wife, husband goes, wife doesn't talk to him. It's a big torture, you know. She's not talking, she's not saying anything, and just sitting there, and come on, talk something, at least shout on me. Speak something. Well, you're staying with a person and he starts neglecting you, doesn't talk to you, doesn't acknowledge you, and how do you stay with that person? Either you leave him. Well, you can't stay. It's pressure. So Krishna says, okay, now I'll start neglecting you. Will you serve me? Yes or no? It's a pressure. He'll not give you mercy. When you chant, your mind will go out of control. That's neglect. Krishna accepts your mind will be fixed on him. He starts neglecting you. Your mind is disturbed. You get all, again you start getting greed, envy, you start getting everything again. You say, what's happening with me? After so many years. And you get disturbed. Still you will serve me or not? Yes or no? Yeah, we like to say yes, but it's difficult to say yes at this point. Because if you say yes to Krishna, Krishna will start his plan. He'll start executing his plan. You say yes, okay. You say yes, I didn't say yes. So be ready for that. So we have to be careful to say yes for that. We're not ready to say, but this is what is the highest level of devotion. We hope, against hope, to say yes someday to this proposal. That's what the first word was, Ashlishya, isn't it? Hope against hope. We have to prepare and qualify ourselves to say yes to this question before we die. Okay, so that's Krishna. Fine. Adarshanam. Adarshanam means I will not reveal myself to you. I will not reveal my mercy to you. I will not do anything to you. You will be fully frustrated. You will be back to square one. You know this phrase? Back to square one? So you have played that. So here you have that Ludo. You have that Ludo here? Game? You don't have that. Snake and ladder? You know this game? You have that? You play and then. So there's a snake in 99. You know that? Last. In 99 there's a snake. If you go there, you directly come to? Zero. You remember that game? So Krishna might take you to zero. And then you might think, I've spent so many years, but I'm again zero. What's happening? No, still I'll serve. No problem. That's okay. Continue. Okay, so that's Adarshanam Marmatam Korotuva. Yeah. Even if you break my heart by being not visible to me, still I will keep on serving you. That means neglect. That's a neglect. Why a devotee keeps on serving Krishna, even if Krishna neglects him? I told you, whatever Krishna does, there's a purpose, isn't it? If you don't understand the purpose, you will have fear and leave devotion. So, why Krishna gives suffering? Krishna starts giving suffering, and if you don't understand what's happening, you will get fear and leave. But we understand the purpose. Krishna gives suffering to help us advance and also to glorify us. Why Krishna starts neglecting us? It's not out of, okay, this is a proposal, I neglect you. But why? There has to be a reason. But that you have to figure out. He will not tell you. So why he starts neglecting? Now here is a reason for that. Prabhupada says in one of his lectures, this is a sign of pure advanced devotee. He is never disappointed. So devotee knows Krishna is neglecting me to help me develop the quality of always being enthusiastic. Even without neglect, devotee is never disappointed. He thinks, okay, fine, Krishna is neglecting me, but that is to help me develop qualities in devotion, isn't it? Help me to develop enthusiasm in spite of the neglect. Help me to fix myself on goal. Help me to understand that Krishna is always thinking of my welfare, even in this neglect. And that's why he keeps on going. He's intelligent. Devotee is intelligent. He can figure out, in spite of Krishna doing all these kind of tricky things. So, what was this? Okay. Yatha tatha va vidhatu lampato. And now Krishna says, okay, fine, I'm happy with you. You accepted the proposal. If you do. Yeah, you say yes. But then Krishna has another proposal. He will not leave you easily. You have to go to spiritual kingdom. You have to be perfect. You don't go to spiritual kingdom without being perfect. If you have 0.000001 error, you don't go back. Isn't that's a computer program? It's a 0.000001 error. It will not run. It has to be perfect. There are bugs there. So Krishna says now, yata tatha bhavitathatu lampato. And you know the meaning of lampat? Lampat means what? Lampat means what? Yes? Lampat means, technically it means a lusty person. That's. So, this verse is spoken by actually Radharani to Krishna. Mahaprabhu is revealing to us. And she says, yatha tatha va vidhatu lampato. Vidhatu means, even if you are the most lusty person. Lusty man is always an independent man, isn't it? Lusty man is not a chaste man, you see. He's not chaste to his wife. He's like so many women. He accepts one, uses one, leaves it and goes to another. That's a lusty man, isn't it? So, devotee is saying, okay, fine. Krishna is saying, okay, fine. See, I'm independent. I can do whatever I like. You accepted it. Now, I'll not give you sufferings, I'll not neglect you, but I will send you to hell for eternity. Will you serve me? That's the final question. I'm going to send you to hell for eternity, after this life. Will you serve me? What do you say? You can't answer this question if you don't have love. But logic, answer is never going to come yes. But by love, it will be very easy to say yes, isn't it? If you've fallen in love with somebody, you say, whatever you do, no problem, I accept it, isn't it? That is all these movies made, you know, hero, heroine. And the hero says, you know what, you know, I want to talk to you, this. Heroine says, no problem, you always keep me in your heart. And you know, it's like that, isn't it? So you can't answer this question if you don't have love. But this question will come. When you go to spiritual world, you will have a questionnaire. And this will be one question there. And you have to answer that. But you will fear if you don't have love. If you have love, you will simply say yes. Okay, fine. Isn't it? And that is between mother and child. A child might say to his mother, "Mama, you're bad. I will not talk to you. You're nonsense. I'll never meet you." And what mother will say? Mother say, no problem, my dear child. Wherever you are, you be happy. Okay, no problem. I don't care. You curse me, you beat me, you kill me, no problem. I want your happiness." You see, so easily she says. But that only mother can say that. We can't say. Because she loves him. And so that's this. Krishna has this question in his questionnaire. "Still you serve me? We should be ready." But we have to be prepared to answer this question, yes. And that will come when you have love in your life. And that is why it's very important to attain love. And that love you can have if you have proper spirit of devotion, proper attitude. That's what I'm explaining, this attitude. All these proper thoughts, proper feelings, the quality of devotion should be 100%. Even if quantity is not 100%. And Krishna knows quantity cannot be 100%. I mean to say, we can't serve Krishna like Hanuman. Never. It's impossible. So, if Krishna starts comparing in quantity, we will always fail. Okay, by quantity I will decide who will I have mercy. We are nowhere. There is in this list, there is Hanuman, there is Prahlad, there is Dhruv. We are nowhere. What quantity? We are doing nothing for Krishna. What, we are chanting some 16 rounds something, and eating prasad and doing some survey, some preaching. Actually, we are doing nothing. If you think about it, it's absolutely zero. Some management, some temples, okay, well, it's not a big thing. It's not a big thing in one sense. So what Krishna will... that's out of his mercy, Krishna will not see the quantity. That's his mercy. If he starts seeing the quantity, we'll fail. So that's why he has made this plan. He says, "I'll see the quality, don't worry. And you improve that quality and that attitude. And by that I'll judge. And I'll give you mercy." And so because of that we are safe. We are much better. In a much better position. Otherwise we land in problem. That's why Ram gave same mercy to squirrel and Hanuman. The quantity was a different, pebbles, but the spirit was good. So that's the most important key in devotion. Your service might get hampered, the quantity, but don't let your attitude be hampered at any time. Don't do that. If you have a fight with a devotee, for example, for a service, okay, he says something, there's an argument and this. Okay, fine. More important thing is not to exactly do an offense against a devotee. You can always avoid, you can always take his decision, if that is not a major decision. If it's a major decision, you have to always sit and talk. But otherwise, okay, fine. That's okay. Because you don't want to injure your service attitude for Krishna and his devotees. You see the point there? So idathavavidathatulampato. Okay, I'll serve you, Krishna. This question you need love. Now why Krishna proposes this? What's the purpose? There has to be some purpose. Why he says, "I will damn you to eternity in hell"? Why he says? There's always purpose, we found that. Now what's the purpose? Can anybody figure out? He told you, "I'll give you sufferings to glorify you, to help you advance." He told you, "I'll neglect you to develop to develop qualities." Now he's telling, "I will put you to eternity to hell." Why? What's the purpose? There has to be a purpose behind it. He doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't like to torture us, isn't it? There's a purpose behind it, and a very nice and a very beautiful purpose, which will help us. But we have to figure out that. Okay, I'll tell you. No problem. Wait, okay. So what's the purpose? Okay. Yeah. You're fine. This is what Prabhupada says. Oh, can you just press again? I need the evidence for that. There's a lecture in 1972, Vrindavan.
Prabhupada comments on this. Prabhupada says, this is lampat. Just like lampat, husband goes to so many other women. But chaste wife still loves the husband. Never mind. So similarly, we have to become so chaste, so honorable, just to stick to the lotus feet of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna will tell to us, will tell this, give this proposal to make us his bride, let's say. He's a bridegroom, we are the bride. That's Gopi Bhav. You don't get Gopi Bhav if you're not at this platform. He will do this to give us Gopi Bhav. Every person, we talk about Gopi Bhav, big, big things, no? But you have to pass this test. You don't get to Madhurya Bhav or Gopi Bhav without passing this test. Once you say yes, he will give you that gift of Gopi Bhav to develop that emotions, what gopis are having for Krishna. And that's what is happening in spiritual world. Every second. So that's why he says this. If you say yes, he will not put you to eternity, to hell. He's just asking you. But then he will give you Gopi Bhav. He might put an illusion that you are in hell. He might do that. And it happened in Mahabharata. So Yudhishthira Maharaj and all Pandavas, after they died, they went to hell. You know this? It's in Mahabharata. They went to hell. And they were thinking, what's happening? And then they saw up, and all the Kauravas were in heaven. Duryodhan was in heaven. And now Yudhishthira Maharaj was wondering, what's happening? This is crazy. So then then Yudhishthira Maharaj said, if the result of dharma is this, I abandon that kind of dharma. That's not dharma. Because result of dharma should be proper. Good. He could understand that. And immediately when he said that, Srila Vyasadev appeared on the scene. And he said, Yudhishthira, don't worry. It's an illusion created by me. It was a final test for you. To test the understanding of dharma. And you understood that a dharma which doesn't give proper results, that is not dharma. Dharma, religion is judged by results and not just by action. You see the point? You can't understand whether killing is dharma or not. What do you say? Killing is religion or irreligion? You can't understand. You have to understand by the result. If that killing brings benefit to humanity, that's religion. That's Gita. That killing doesn't bring benefit to humanity, that's not dharma. So Yudhishthira Maharaj he passed in final examination. He said, the result is this is not dharma, I abandon this. Vyasadeva comes, he says, okay, fine. Illusion finished. He says, all the Kauravas are in hell. This is just everything finished. He says, okay, fine. You climb the ladder, you go to spiritual world. It's done. So Krishna might put some illusion and do something. But it'll help us. It helps us. So that's what is this last verse all about. Yata tathava vidadu lampato. Yeah, this is very nice. This is a very nice quotation by Prabhupada, 1973 lecture. Prabhupada says, Krishna may not come. I may not see Krishna for thousands and thousands of lives. I may rot in hellish condition of life for many, many births. That doesn't matter. Still I cannot give Krishna consciousness. This still we understand. This is required. This is the attitude required when we do devotion. This with this attitude we do. I may be sent to hell or heaven, it doesn't matter. What qualification have I got that I want to see and go back to God? Do you see the point? A devotee thinks, what qualification I have to go back to God, that I even desire to go back to God. Even that desire is not justified to go back to Godhead, because we don't have a qualification. You can desire something if you deserve, isn't it? Okay, fine. Now you all start desiring, I will become Prime Minister of America. Is it a good desire? You are simply a drug addict if you start thinking like that. Prime Minister of America, there's something wrong here. That's the point. If we desire, I'll go back to Godhead, in one sense, that desire is a nonsense desire for in our condition, in one perspective, because we have no qualification to go back to Godhead. In one perspective, In another perspective, it is okay because we understand we can go back to Godhead, not because we have qualifications, but we can go to back to Godhead because Krishna can do anything. From his perspective, it is okay. But from our perspective, it is not okay. You see, you have to shift the perspective. Otherwise, it's a problem in devotion. Devotion is all about relationship. It is all about two person. You're thinking from your end, you're thinking from his end also. Otherwise, it's not relationship. Otherwise, it's impersonal. Most of us lead a life in impersonalism. We are thinking from our end, but not from his end. Then we don't develop love. From our end, to attain Krishna is impossible. From Krishna's end, to attain us, it's like this, isn't it? If Krishna wants to attain us, nobody can stop him. But if we want to attain Krishna, we might not attain him. So it's both. It's possible and impossible. That is why if you read songs of Acharya, sometimes they say, Krishna, we can't achieve you, we are useless. Sometimes they say, yes, I'm convinced we'll come back to you. The perspectives are changing. And that is why to understand songs is very difficult. Because perspectives are changing continuously. It's the most difficult thing to understand Vaishnava songs. So, you see, it's nice. What qualification have I got that I want to go back to Godhead, Prabhupada says. This is how devotee thinks, from his end. It is not so easy thing. Why should I be sorry for that? See? Why should I be sorry for not going back to Godhead? Because anyway, I don't have any qualification. This is a very beautiful way of thinking. One way of thinking. We are not sorry we don't go back to Godhead because anyway, we are not going back to Godhead. We are not qualified to go back to Godhead. If Krishna wants, he can take us. Okay, fine. But as far as we are concerned, okay. Why I should be sorry for that? I should be happy even in hell simply by thinking of Krishna. That is wanted, that is wanted. That is Krishna consciousness. This is the attitude of Krishna consciousness. I'm not talking about quantity, I'm talking about quality. And Prabhupada's books helps us to develop this quality of devotion. The more you're refined in your consciousness, the more we are near to Krishna. That refinement is required. It is not just what you do, it is how you do. That's more important. That's what Krishna is saying there. But that is Krishna. This is a beautiful... This is a lecture. You see Prabhupada's books, it's... Prabhupada's books and lectures are like no end. You don't see these kind of sentiments in other acharyas' commentary. They are there, but they are locked there. They're complex. But Prabhupada is not writing, he's just speaking. You know, when you speak, you just speak like I'm speaking randomly. It's a lecture. Prabhupada says so easily such a deep concept. Of course, this shows he's a realized person. Just by reading his books, you can understand he's realized. Nobody can speak like that. Okay. And what's after that? Nirathata bhavidatulam pato. Mat prananatus tasaeva na pada. Before explaining this, I'll tell you. There was one Alwar. Alwar means South Indian devotee. South Indian saints are called Alwar. So there's Alwar whose name is Namma Alwar. Alwar means great saints. So there is a South Indian saint by the name Namma Alwar. He was sitting in trance and in devotion, and Krishna came to him. Like Krishna revealed himself in his heart. Krishna was coming. And you know what he prayed? What he said to Krishna? If we were there, we would have said, "Oh Krishna, nice, you have come. Come, we'll embrace. I'm so happy." You know what he said? He said, "Krishna, you please go back. This word is not good for you. Please don't come in this nonsense, crazy word. Just for me? No. Don't take so much pain. Go back." Devotion is very different thing. And it's all here. It's all in this box. In a small box. You have to know how to refine or fine-tune this. That's what then Krishna starts liking. Krishna is watching that. What you are thinking. That is why Prabhupada named this movement not Krishna action, but Krishna consciousness. He could have made Krishna action. Okay, keep on doing something. It's not just that. Consciousness, that's the important thing. Okay, so then last Mahaprabhu says, Mat pranatas tu seva napada. But still he is alone and no one else is worshipful Lord of my heart. Even after so many proposals of Krishna, devotee says, still I will serve you, because he is intelligent, he can understand the purpose behind Krishna's doing all these things. And he can understand that Krishna's purpose is always noble, always for our welfare. Suhirdam sarva bhutanam. And devotee, intelligent devotee can understand that. So, mat means me, pran means life, nath means the Lord. You are the Lord of my life. Tu saiva napada. And the last word, napada, is there is nobody else except you as my worshipable Lord. In spite of you doing so many things which people can't understand, still you are my master, I will never change my master. That's the idea. You know what, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he was in Navdeep, he was doing pastimes almost like a human, isn't it? When he didn't reveal he is God, after some time he revealed he is God. Before that he was like ordinary pandit, scholar, criticizing people. He was even saying to devotees, leave Krishna, you are wasting your life. He was saying to all these devotees, Gadadhar Pandit, Khola Vaicha Sridhar, he said, you're all wasting your life, it's nonsense, don't worship Vishnu, worship me. He was saying, and all devotees feared him, like it's complete crazy Nimaya Pandit. But you know what? But one of his devotees, Narhari Sarkar Thakur, you have heard Narhari Sarkar Thakur? He wrote a poem on that pastime when Mahaprabhu is confusing. So it's in Bengali, this old poem. And in that song he writes, oh my Lord Nimai, your pastimes are so confusing. And it seems you are like an ordinary mortal. But we are also your devotees. As you are perfect Lord, we are your perfect devotees. We will never become confused that you are not God, in spite of all your actions. We'll never become confused. That's the idea. We'll never become confused in spite of Krishna dealing us like that, doing so many things. He's not taking care of us or whatever. We may feel like that, but we'll never become confused because we know the purpose. Na prayojanatvat. That is why you need to understand philosophy perfectly. Philosophy is not just, okay, you cram something, this and this, and okay, what's the need of philosophy? Even if we don't know philosophy, can we go to spiritual kingdom? People say that, no? We have emotions. Why? How will you go? You will not understand. You can't interact with Krishna. Philosophy will teach you how to interact with Him. That's the role of philosophy. Philosophy is not there to debate or to put your point or some dry arguments. That's not the idea. If we are reading philosophy like that, then we miss the whole point of philosophy. That's wrong. So you have to learn how to deal. That's devotional philosophy, by the way. So he says, you're still Lord of my heart. Determination. That means devotee is showing his determination to serve Krishna, and devotee is showing his vision is fixed on service. This is devotion. When your senses are empowered by renunciation and your mind is empowered by emotions and your intelligence is empowered by discrimination and your soul is fixed on the service of Lord, then you become perfect devotee. When all these strings orchestrate together, then there is a music. If some strings go somewhere, there is no music. Then there is music of devotion. Then Krishna likes that. Otherwise, He doesn't like that. We have to prepare ourselves in that context. So that's this verse. Final thing is love versus lust. Any other attitude besides this, what I've explained, what Mahaprabhu explains, that's lust. Any other attitude besides this? This attitude, that's a goal we have to achieve there. We have to keep our this consciousness like that. That is love. So, love and lust also, it's not just gross. It works here. It works in our thoughts. It works in our feelings. It works in our intelligence. And we have to choose love, reject lust like that. And then our life is perfect. Then we can chant Hare Krishna properly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Any comments, any questions, or? It's done. Yeah. Yeah.
And then when he was leaving the room, he was stopping and he was lowering his percentages.
Okay, okay. So you can be like 80%.
They were talking like this.
Okay, so then?
He said, I don't know, he stopped at 70 or 60%, I mean, still, by my mercy or something, I don't know if you're looking for
it. Yeah. Yeah, even Prabhupada says, if Prabhupada also says, I have the key for the back door of spiritual world. He said that. But at the same time, you know what? There is an offense against holy name. You know that? The offense is, what's that offense? Commit sinful activities on the strength of holy name. That's the seventh offense. Namno baladyasai papa buddhi. That's in Sanskrit. So, the idea is, yeah, holy name is very merciful, he can take us and that and that. But on the strength of that mercy, we can't do nonsense. So, Prabhupada can lower the percentage, but we should not lower from our end. We have to be perfect as much as possible. Then they can decide. A student has to work hard, be perfect in examination, do exam paper nicely. Then teacher can decide whether you have to give grace marks or not, bonus or not. That's up to them. Not up to us. So that's the idea. You see the point? We can't take advantage of that. And lax. That's offense actually. It goes to offense. Seventh offense. Okay, if there's no question. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Oh, you have just a minute. Yeah, Mataji, just you finish.
Krishna always has a purpose.
Yeah.
But if you know that, then you don't suffer, or you suffer less. But then you cannot, develop a quality.
No. I can understand what you're saying. If Krishna gives us suffering and we know the purpose, then we can't really suffer, isn't it? Then we don't have the miseries of that suffering because we understand the purpose, and then we are happy even in that suffering. You say that? So then we can endure those sufferings, we can understand why these are coming, and then we can develop the qualities. If you don't understand why I was suffering, you will end up in frustration. You got the point? Okay, fine. That's all. Your answer. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.